Dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We only get the end of the story of Jonah today, don't we? Prior to this part of the story where Jonah is now walking to Nineveh, just a short distance away, he had thrown essentially one of the world's biggest tantrums and ran away from God and got on a boat going in the opposite direction. And the Lord was not pleased, so he sent a storm. And that storm was ravaging the boat to destruction. And the people on that ship wondered what in the world they had done that displeased the gods. And Jonah goes, "No, no, no, you've done nothing wrong. I have displeased the one and only God." And they tell him he must get off the boat, for that seems to be what this all-powerful God he is speaking of wants Jonah to do. Now, this is a summary, and it continues that there Jonah gets off the boat, and he is swallowed by a big fish. And he's in the belly of this fish for 3 days, until he is resurrected, so to speak, and spat out on shore. During that time, the Lord is talking to him, telling him of what necessity it is that he goes to Nineveh. And Jonah, the prophet, begrudgingly says he will go. He repents to some extent, but he's still not happy. He's still not being as faithful as he ought to be. But he goes to Nineveh anyways, and he cries out what the Lord has promised, that in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. And the Ninevites do something interesting. They stop what they're doing and they listen. And there the people, all the people of Nineveh, believed God and believed in him. And they fasted and they put on sackcloth, from the greatest, so like the richest and most powerful, to the lowliest and youngest members of their society. They all turned to God and repented from their sin. And there, if you ever read Dr. Seuss, I always kind of got a bit of a Dr. Seuss vibe, like he got his idea for Horton Hears a Who from the story of Jonah. If you know that story, there's this miniature world on a flower that's being defended by this giant elephant. And in order for this little world to be saved, all the people living on that flower in Whoville must cry out and make noise as loud as they can. And so the mayor goes around to everybody and gets them all to do some sort of music or noise or loud sound. And it's still not enough. Well, as the mayor is going around crying out and making loud noises with everyone, he finds one little kid shirking his duty. And he tells this kid to cry out as loud as he can. And there he is heard, and the people are saved. Well, here it is. Jonah cries out, and all the people cry out to God in repentance. You see, in our sin, we're like Nineveh before this moment. In our sin, we are overthrown by death and eternal condemnation. Just as Nineveh in 40 days would be overthrown by God in this life. Here it is that what was needed was the good order God provided. Jonah needed it, because we, in our sin, do exactly what he did. We run as far away from God as we can. We get angry and upset when our sins are pointed out, and we run. We run and we run and we run and we cry out, "Why me, Lord? Why do I have to do this?" And we'd rather jump in the belly of a big fish than talk to God sometimes in our sin and listen to his word. Because nobody likes to be told that they're doing something that's wrong. And so here it is. God sees our sin. And he resurrects us like he did Jonah in the belly of the whale. We call this a type of the Christ because it points us to what will happen with Jesus at his crucifixion. You see, here this story of Jonah depicts death when he's swallowed by the fish, just as Christ, when he died on the cross, he was swallowed into the earth like our bodies are. And there he stayed 3 days as Christ would stay in the tomb, and he would rise on that little Easter as the fish spat him out. But there Christ would rise on Easter, that what we see happen in Nineveh would happen for the whole world, for all of you there in him. You would have the forgiveness of your God, and that he would relent of eternal disaster for you. That he would not do as he said would take place, because he sees that in the Savior your sins are forgiven, that the blood of the Lamb covers them, and he's teaching you to repent and you turn from them and turn to him who is above all, who has been forever, the one who created you. St. Paul reminds us of that good order of Jesus. And to summarize what he said, "Look, you need to live like you would in eternal life. For the time we have now is short. It's easy in this life to be distracted by the worldly things." And he uses husbands and wives as the example. Elsewhere in the scriptures, Jesus says, if you choose father and mother, husband and wife, son and daughter above him, that there's a problem. You've made a god out of family. You serving the needs of this life only. But it goes back to this old adage we often hear in our society of what order we should serve and live in this life. I heard this from many people growing up, from my dad, from my pastors, from other men in the congregation. You serve God, family, and the world after. And this is what St. Paul's trying to get at. The good order of God is serving him. And the vocations he gives you, such as marriage, should serve his ends. So when you serve your spouse, it shouldn't be just for worldly need. It should be for the greater understanding of salvation. When you serve your children, it shouldn't be only for earthly need, but for that of eternal blessings that God pours out on you and on them. When you serve and do any job, when you live in any vocation God gives you, it should be first and foremost to give glory to the one who created you and to live in his good order. That any of the worldly things that bring us to be anxious and worried and concerned, whether our children will be mad, whether our boss will be mad, whether our wife will be mad if we didn't clean the correct thing, whether we're going to be worried if our husband comes home happy from work. You see, these earthly anxieties flow out of our sin and the death it brings. But Christ comes with a heavenly blessing for you. And there, as we serve and live and seek to be more like him, that there it is we should seek not to be anxious about the world and what will happen around us, but we should live as those redeemed by Jesus. That there we'd be holy in body and spirit, putting God first and care for those he's given for us to care out of the duty and order he's given, that all will know the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this is the importance of the gospel lesson then. Because here, as Jesus goes out into ministry, what does he do? He calls the 12. And here we get a glimpse of that picture. Just a handful of them so far last week and this week. And why are they called? Well, to share the gospel and the good order that he gives. Because, see, sin comes with no order. It's all just function and destruction and evil and death. But God, he comes to you to restore order by the blood of the Lamb who was slain. Just like on that day with Jonah, he restored the order to the people he knew would believe. Even though Jonah would later, after that visit to Nineveh, go sit under a tree, pouting like a child who dropped his ice cream, mad at God, and this is where what I said earlier holds true. Jonah hadn't truly repented of his sin. And he sat all angry with God. But God sought after him and brought him to repentance, that he too would receive the salvation of eternal life that is promised in the Savior, just as those of Nineveh did, just as each and every one of you receiving Christ in the waters of baptism, the forgiveness of sins, salvation, and life eternal. That there you would hear from those God has given, your parents, your pastors, the word of God, and you would believe the truths therein. that Jesus is your Savior, God in the flesh, and there you would live with him anew, living this life like there is nothing but eternal life waiting, because there it is, the Lord has set a place for you, and there he gives you life everlasting. He forgives you your sins, teaches you to be like him, to live holy in body and spirit, that there he would mend your broken soul as those fishermen were mending their nets that day. That there he would catch you up like the fish in those nets and bring you ashore to find rest in his heavenly kingdom forever. That there you would have life everlasting and forever see your God, who sought after you and saved you, that you would see his face forevermore as he set good order back in place, that where you once had eternal death, you now have eternal life. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.